it over again. You're living a dream, so you on top. The mind is aching, Lord, it won't stop. That's how it's happened, living life by the drop. Up and down that road in a worn-out shoes, talking about good things and singing the blues. You went your way and I stayed behind. We both knew it was just a matter of time. Living the dreams, oh, you on top. My mind is aching, Lord, it won't stop. That's how it happens, living life by the drop. No waste of time, we're alive today. Churning up the past, there's no easier way. Time's been between us, a means to an end. God, it's good to be here walking together, my friend. Living a dream. My mind stopped aching. That's how it happened, living life by the drop. That's how it happened, living life by the drop. That's how it happened, living life by the drop.
Well, welcome to the situation report. It's July 2nd already. Can you believe that shit? Where'd the year go? Well, I'm back. I took a week off, completely checked out. I was going to have Mike Ferris run the show and decided, yeah, fuck it. I'm on vacation. I don't want to do anything right now. Mainly, I just wanted to unplug. Little Stevie Ray Vaughan for you, Life by the Drop. Probably one of the best acoustics I've heard in a very, very long time. He's got a good catalog too. He was a talented dude. It's been an interesting couple of weeks. Let's just start there, because the situation is not what people think. It's not what you think it is. I want to talk about the debate and all the noise around the debate, because it's all noise. Look, the Democrats, the liberals, whatever you want to call them, the elite, they're strategic. Whether you think so or not, they're very strategic. They have a plan. They've wargamed out a lot of different scenarios. They have a lot of different opportunities in front of them. And this noise around Biden is just noise. I say that because they don't plan on getting to the election. They've set conditions so that there is no way that the American public will accept the outcome of this election, no matter what they do. It's a win-win for the elite. And if you look at the Trump camp, Let's go back to Wendy Rogers. If you didn't hear my sit rep from last Saturday, you should go listen to it, because there's two things I don't do. I don't do officers that are gunslingers, meaning shitbags, butt snorkelers, whatever you want to call them, opportunists, narcissists. I don't do those kind of officers at all. And this situation with Steve Slayton here in Arizona, where Seth Keschel and Jack Donna have got the goods on Steve Slayton and Wendy Rogers now, and they double down. Wendy Rogers banned Navajo County GOP on Twitter and on True Social. Really? That's what you're going to do? That's your double down? That should tell you that the whole system is completely corrupt. And what you think are legitimate people legitimately doing legitimate things in a broken, corrupt system, they are not. And I'm saying that because Trump is not what you think he is. Look at Bannon. Bannon's playing the martyr now. You know, they've asked me to come back to the campaign. I've had some very high-level donors ask me to come back to the campaign. But, you know, the war room is too important right now. It's too important to Trump. It's too important to the election. Do you see what they're doing? They're setting conditions so that Steve Bannon becomes the trusted source and the new trusted media. They made him a martyr through all these court cases. They're making Peter Navarro a martyr, and they're setting condition to make them the trusted source, just like Tucker Carlson. And Tucker Carlson's old man was CIA, which de facto means that Tucker Carlson is CIA. And I could be way off base, but I doubt it. Because you don't set conditions like this and tell the public in fucking June that Biden has no chance of winning. And oh, by the way, the senile, pants-shitting, child-sniffing fucking pedophile that took showers with his daughter is going to stay in the race. You don't say things like that in a group of people that are sharks without a purpose. And the purpose is they want the election to be contested. They want civil disorder. They've set conditions for it. And everybody is all wrapped up in Biden's mental state and Trump's performance. I don't care. If there's one thing I learned working around the White House Comm Center and working around the DC elite, the renter in the White House doesn't make decisions. It's all the assholes around him that make decisions. And there's 150 assholes around the president at all times. The president doesn't use the bathroom without 10 people knowing about it. Doesn't move around the White House without people knowing about it. And most of those decisions are already made for him. Even the decision around when you can get up and go to the bathroom. It's one of the most tightly controlled schedules on the planet. You don't think that they've known since day one that Biden was senile and was shitting his pants? Absolutely they did. The point is, why do you care about it? Why are you spending so much time worried about something that doesn't matter in the long term? They are going to set conditions for civil disorder, and they've already done it. And this conversation that there's panic across the Democratic Party, that's all horseshit. That's all show. Have you not figured out that every time there's some kind of a major situation, they create some drama that sucks everybody in? What's going on the ground in Ukraine right now? The Russians are moving. And Zelensky was just threatened by the Azov battalion, the Nazi battalion. All that's theater. Does anybody really know what the situation on the ground in Ukraine is? Does anybody really know where the Russians really are? You can't trust either side. It's all theater. It's all designed to keep you distracted and to keep you worried about things that don't matter. Here's what matters. Right now in this country, we've had two more train derailments just in the last week. We have Chinese NGOs that are operating in the open in every major city, especially in New York. We have a host of food production facilities that have been burned to the fucking ground in the last 12 months. And everybody's worried about the orange man's bad. You have to step away from it. We're in a war is a marathon. I know everybody thinks that the white hats are coming back and Trump's and the good guys are winning and Trump's coming back. Humma, humma. I got it. But if I've learned anything from my time in the military is that war is a marathon and you have to step away from it to clear your head and see the situation clearly, especially when you're too close to the situation. And right now, there's a lot of people so close to the situation, they can't see the chaff, the trees. Forest through the trees, whatever the saying is that you want to use. The point is, we're in a situation right now where we are in a prime place. They've created the perfect storm. military age males in our country, civil disorder right around the corner, weaponization of all of the different agencies, as well as federal resources. This Chevron agreement, this Chevron decision by SCOTUS, who cares? You're already talking about parts of the administration, parts of the federal apparatus that are wiping their ass with the Constitution. DOJ wiping their ass with the Constitution. Merrick Garland openly threatening members of Congress. You think SCOTUS is going to have any impact on that? SCOTUS could come in tomorrow, and they won't, by the way. They could come in tomorrow, and they could rule that the entire 2020 and 2022 elections were fraudulent, and no one would do a thing to change it. And let me bring you back to Wendy Rogers, so you know exactly what I'm talking about here. Ben Thoma is the senior member of the Republican Party in Arizona. He's terming out in this term, and he doesn't give two shits about the election interference, about the machines, about the fact that Stephen Richter just hired a fucking somebody with a felony to run the elections. You have Washington State that's hiring and giving licenses to undocumented immigrants in professional positions. When you start looking at the bigger picture around all of the politics, there's no reason why somebody like Wendy Rogers wouldn't go all in on the fraudulent side of the house. And look, stolen valor is a big thing, but that's not the crux of the issue here. The crux of the issue is that you have Eli Crane and Carrie Lake both doubling down and supporting Wendy Rogers. And do you know why they're doing that? They're doing that because they don't want to, quote unquote, split the party. They don't want to disrupt the apple cart. But yet you have two very fraudulent and very corrupt politicians in the system right now that can make a massive difference before the election. What are they doing? They're all doubling down on, we got to support the party. There's no end state given that mentality that is going to put Republicans or going to put conservatives on top after this. Like, even if there's a fucking landslide and they can't obfuscate the vote, which is that's the new bullshit term. It's going to be a landslide. Where do we fucking hear that before? We heard that bullshit in 2020. It's a 93-mile convoy for Trump. There's no way he could lose. They control the counting centers. That's how they can manipulate the vote. So if you look at it from that perspective, guess what? It means that they're allowing Trump to come back. They're allowing the idea of Trump to come back. But they don't have any desire or any impetus to get there before things go off the rails. And if you're going to lose power, what's the best alternative for losing power? You burn the system to the fucking ground and you take everybody with you. This conversation over the past week about, well, they're drunk with power. They don't want to give up power. They'd rather put this senile old bag of shit in front of the American public than lose power. That's all nonsense. That's all subterfuge. And it's noise to keep you distracted with the idea that Trump's coming back. We're talking about an entire elite class in D.C. on both sides of the aisle that all jumped on board for the big win on January 6th and called everybody insurrectionists and did their level best to make sure that there was no challenges to the official vote. I'm telling you, there's no pathway to get to November. There's just no pathway to do it. And if by some miraculous event that we're able to get to November and actually do the election without violence, without cities being burned down, all the rest of it, guess what? They are not going to allow Trump to come back. And if they do, they're going to hamstring him to where he can't do anything. And let me explain what I say. Trump's not what you think he is. Trump's not a messiah. He's one fucking dude. And he's surrounded by dipshits. Just go look at any of Dan Scavino's posts. It's like, have you ever watched the movie The Watchmen? I mean, aside from being soft porn, you get out of the movie after 2.5 hours, you're like, does fucking anybody know what that was about? Anyone? Anyone? Same deal. Trump's surrounded by morons. And Dan Scavino, if you look at his posts on True Social, like, what are you trying to say? Just use plain English. Tell us what you want us to buy into. Sell us the big lie. But it's these nebulous, stupid posts about aircraft carriers and eagles and bullshit. What are you trying to say? Part of the problem with the entire Trump camp is that they double down on shit that people hate, and they don't double down on the things that people want. Case in point, the day that COVID started and lockdown started, Trump said, I'm going to push to have all of big pharma and production for drugs move back to the U.S. Next day, shut down. Never to be heard again. He doubled down on the whole Operation Warp Speed, even though he knows, and everybody around him knows, that his base fucking hates that. And then on top of that, there's this conversation about vice presidents. The fact that he's got the short list of people, all of which are douchebags, and there's so much master debating over the vice presidency. None of it matters at this point. Not one bit of it matters, because we still have to get through the convention. We still have to get to November, and we still have to do it without a nuclear war occurring, a world war occurring, domestic violence, terrorist activities, and, oh, by the way, the collapse of the financial system, the collapse of the logistical system, and the collapse of the fuel supply. What's one guy going to do about that? Especially when he's surrounded by dipshits like Dan Scavino. You ask me, Trump made the deal. Because do you hear Trump talking about the CIA and former FBI at Google, at Facebook, at YouTube, at Twitter? Has Elon Musk outed or doxed any of those fucking people? No. Has Trump even mentioned it? No. The one quintessential threat that should be addressed right now before anything else happens in the campaign is, what are you going to do about the media? What are you going to do to build a trusted source of information for the American people so that they know that what's coming across the wire is the real thing? And there is no discussion about that. Because the one thing that has to be fixed before November is the media has to be reeled in and brought under control. But that's not going to happen. Because what the American people want when Trump's elected, they want fucking justice. They want to see people perp walked. They want to see people handcuffed. They want to see people run to trial for treason. And then they want to see public executions. That's what people want to see. They don't want to see another 4 years of, we'll get them next time. We need to hold the party together. My answer from the first day of this nonsense in November of 2022 was the second American Revolution just started. Why? Because no one has the balls to stand up and say, this is what needs to happen. No one has the stones to go on national TV and say, every one of you fucking media people that were a part of the Floyd riots that encouraged people to commit act of violence, that's sedition. And you should be tried for sedition. Did you hear anybody say that? Do you hear anybody in the Republican Party say that? No, they're all pandering for you to send them more money, which is why I said in the first place, no more fucking money for the Republican Party. anywhere. Fuck them. And what did people do the moment Trump was convicted? They sent piles of money to the Trump campaign. I'm telling you, it's all a show. You're being played. You're being played the same way they have played the entire population of the planet for the last 250 years. They create a trusted source, they feed you a bunch of bullshit, and they lead you down the merry path. Not one fucking Republican, not fucking one, has stood up and done the right thing since 2010, since 2001. Why would they start now? It's all nonsense. And my phone blew up over the weekend around this conversation about who's going to take over if Biden drops out. You already know who it's going to be. Killary, Gruesome Newsom, Big Mike, or some other shitbag. And the one that I thought was hysterical was they floated Rachel Whitmer from Michigan. I mean, come on. When they kidnapped her, nobody wanted her back. I mean, come on. Nobody was going to go looking for that bitch. And you think she's going to beat Trump? That's hysterical. That's just white noise. Talk about a crazy bitch. Man, she has done more and committed more treason just in the state of Michigan than Jay Inslee has in Washington State. And he's a card-carrying communist. Him and Bob Ferguson and Dow Constantine and the rest of the fucking malcontents in King County. Unbelievable. And what are they doing to watch today? Yay, oppression! Yay, communism! Yay, more oppression! People are stupid. The point is, even if Trump gets in, even if Trump has the right people around him, you have to do exactly what the left did in 2020. People have forgotten that when January 6th happened, the fucking FBI went through the military, they went through law enforcement, they went through DHS, and they interviewed people to figure out what their loyalties were and where their political beliefs lied. And then you know what they did when they figured out that people were Republicans or conservative? They fucking pushed them out. And then they did the whole vaccine mandates and pushed everybody else out that had a conscience and a brain. So if Trump comes in, he not only has to whitewash the entire fucking staff of every federal agency, he has to do something about the senior executive service. All of them were handpicked by Obama. All card-carrying Maoists. You have to whitewash the entire federal government. That's not going to happen in 4 years. And Trump doesn't have the balls to bring in the 82nd Airborne or the 101st Airborne and wholesale start arresting people. Why do you think Rachel Maddow, The View, and all these other fucking hens are screaming their heads off right now about Trump's going to arrest us? Because they know that's going to happen. The American people want them rolled up and hung for treason. Every fucking one of them. They're setting conditions so that Trump can't come back and do anything. Otherwise, they'll release the Antifa dogs and all of the soccer moms will come out of nowhere and start protesting against the tyranny and the fascism. They've set conditions so that Trump can't do anything. That's why he's not what you think he is. He's not the Messiah. He's not going to come back and fix everything. And even if he does, yeah, Gretchen Whitmer, whatever the fuck she is, I don't care what her fucking name is, crazy bitch in Michigan. She's as bad as that Jenna Griswold or whatever that stupid bitch's name in Colorado. God, talk about a smurf. Jesus, fucking Muppet. The point is, even if he comes back, even if he has the right people, he can't do that in 4 years. And he doesn't have the stones to go through and do what's necessary to clean out Washington, D.C. And even if you did, you have to go after all the lobbyist firms. You have to go after all the NGOs. And you have to roll up the billionaires. Who's going to do that? There's a host of things that have to happen. And the reality of it is the American people aren't going to have control of any of it unless they step up. And they're not going to. They're not going to step up until they're starving. They're going to keep slowly turning up the volume until it's unbearable for people. But they're stepping up the volume as they're consolidating power. And if they can't consolidate power, they're going to burn the system down. There's so many aspects to this that lead me to just stop caring about it. But it's the bigger picture of nobody asked the question, how? How is this going to happen? How are they going to fix this? How are they going to roll people up? The people have this fantasy that, you know, Trump's going to come in and they're just going to roll everybody up. We're going to send them all to Gitmo. There's going to be these trials. Humma, humma. The stuff that really needs to happen, the real brutal shit that needs to happen, no one has the balls to do. If this was, again, China or Russia, people would just be vanishing. And that's what the left is setting up for. Like, and here's the other one, is the FEMA camps. Remember the FEMA camps? They've been around since like 1988. FEMA's building camps. This DHS whistleblower guy that's made his rounds for the last 3 weeks talking about on Stu Peters and all these other shows about, you know, DHS and Mayorkas, he's investing heavily in all these re-education camps. You notice how there's never a fucking picture of these camps? You hear about it over and over and people lose their minds about it. FEMA camps, you know, I'm like, where's the camps? Where's the pictures? If these are so big, you're telling me that you can't see them from an airplane? You can't take a picture of this camp in the middle of nowhere? Come on. And I've said several times, if the camps exist, somebody send me a fucking picture of the camps. And it always turns out to be bullshit. Then there's the question of, how are they going to round everybody up? There's too many variables there. It's like the Supreme Court cases. Everybody goes off the deep end when the Supreme Court finally makes a decision. Here's the question for you. Why can't they give anybody standing to challenge any of the election shit? The machines in and of themselves, just with a cursory view from Cyber Ninjas, looking at just the log data from an EAS server, saw 800 anonymous connections to Windows servers from overseas, and nobody fucking batted an eye. Not one intelligence agency, not one law enforcement agency, not one state sheriff. You would think that just that information alone on its face value would have sent out warning signals and red signs and red lights all over the United States. Fucking crickets. And what does the Supreme Court say? You don't have standing. You can't materially show that you were harmed by the election. Really? But you motherfuckers can vote on Roe v. Wade that nobody gave two shits about? And then you can vote on the Chevron Doctrine, which has already been so bastardized by the federal government since 2001 that there's no fucking way you'll be able to unwind it? Just the CAFE regulations related to miles per gallon and vehicle requirements are so stringent that you would have to go back 30 years to repeal them all and get them back to a place of some kind of normalcy and some kind of logic. Nobody asks the question, why now? Why is the Supreme Court ruling on this shit right now? Why is the Supreme Court not listening to any of the cases that matter and they're giving you dog food for things that don't matter? Do you think I give two shits about the Chevron Doctrine when they've almost depleted the strategic oil reserve? We have trains derailing. We have food plants being burned down. We have federal agencies that have been weaponized. Do you think I give two shits about the environmental? I don't. And why should I? How's that going to affect my daily life? It's not. It's just window dressing on a gaping flesh wound. It's retarded. But look at how much people pivot from the stuff that matters and watching the things that matter the moment this stuff starts to come to the surface. I mean, just go look at Twitter from the last week. It's all about the election. It's all about Trump. All the algorithms, all the AI, all the bots, all the narratives are literally immersing people with it. I mean, I was asked several times over the weekend, what's new in the news? I'm like, it's just bots and nonsense. Bots, AI, and BS. That's all it is. There's no discussion. There's no engagement. It's all AI and bots. So if you think Elon Musk is the savior of free speech, you are sorely mistaken. That guy has done nothing to change Twitter other than allowing conservatives to say whatever they want. But go say something that's controversial, because I've been hitting the fucking guardrails. I make it a point to hit the guardrails because I want to know exactly where the boundaries are that get me thrown off of Twitter. And this is what got me bounced off of Twitter. I said that Rachel Maddow should be tried for treason and sedition and hung in a public forum. And Twitter came back and said that was a threat. And I said to their snotty tech support person that reached out to me, go fuck yourself. A threat is when I say, I'm going to come down to your house and beat you like a fucking baby seal with a lead pipe. That's a threat. This is saying what needs to happen to a traitor. That's not a threat. The point is, not even social media allows you a source of truth. And they're setting conditions so that they guide you to the sources of truth. Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon. I don't trust Bannon because most of his financing comes from China. Go look at who pays for his ads. He talks about taking down the CCP and plays the colorful music. But a lot of his funding comes from communist China. They're setting conditions for all of this to guide you into the same pattern of behavior. And if you're watching the financial markets, which I've been watching Luongo and Vince Lance and a few others, what they've been reporting on, the financial markets is teetering as well, especially in Europe. And it'll collapse in Europe before it collapses here. Europe will be the bellwether. Every single time that you see this narrative popping up and showing up, and see, this is part of the reason why I had to take a week off. Because I get to the point where I see all this, and my answer to all of it is, fuck it, let it burn to the ground. Because a lot of it needs to burn to the ground. The entire federal government needs to burn to the fucking ground. Absolutely no redeemable values or value system. Everybody in D.C. is corrupt. Everybody's bought off. They're either owned by oligarchs, they're owned by companies, they're owned by big pharma. There's no redeeming that. There's no way to reform it. There's no way to reset it. You have to burn it to the ground. And that's exactly what happened in the Roman Empire. It's exactly where we are. That's why I don't pay attention to anything that comes out of DC. It's all subterfuge and noise. Like AOC's big proclamation that she's going to go and she's going to impeach members of the Supreme Court because they are Trump's mega people. It's all nonsense. First of all, she's too stupid to write. She doesn't know how to write or read. She's got the social Democrats in New York City that run her entire office. She's got operatives from the social Democrats in New York in her office that write all of her press releases. They let her do her stupid social media and nonsense because it plays to the 20-somethings that think everything is black and white. Every bit of it is subterfuge. And I don't pay attention to it because there's no, name one thing in the last 5 years that's come out of Congress that has resulted in anything beneficial to the American people. Not one. Not one. So why pay attention to it? Why even spend your time worried about it? And like I said, I get to the point where I'm like, fuck it. Doesn't matter. You know, maybe if I was running on more than like an hour of sleep, I would have some more pearls of wisdom about why to care about this stuff, but I don't. Because the thing that matters right now is getting people prepared for what's coming. And look, even if nothing comes, and they're able to reform part of the system, and they're able to bring Trump back and resuscitate some of the economy, it still doesn't solve our bigger systemic problems. And the bigger systemic problems is the federal law enforcement apparatus has to be completely dismantled. The military leadership has to be completely replaced. DEI and the LGBTQ plus pedophile, God, all of that debauchery, all of it has to be dismantled. There's no way to do that without a system failure. Look at what's going on in San Francisco. It is open debauchery. That happens when civilizations die. And this was architected decades ago. I'm convinced that our purpose for this crowd, for this country, and the people that are alive right now is to rebuild our society the way it should be. And rebuild our society in an image that allows for innovation, growth, and a higher plane of existence. I know that sounds ethereal, but it's true. We cannot, you know, I love the UFO debates. My God, that shit's fun. Because Redacted had Michael Sala. Somebody sent me the interview over the weekend, and I watched about 2.5 minutes of it. And Michael Sala is a PhD that's written all kinds of stuff about the secret space program and Operation Blue Beam and all this other bullshit. And he was a big Corey Good, David Wilcock guy. If you don't know who those guys are, go look them up. My God, they were on this thing called Gaia TV. And somebody sent it to me way back in 2016 or 2017. And I was at the Pentagon at the time. And it was another, I think it was a 06 that sent it to me. Maybe it was a 1-star that sent it to me. Colonel, what do you think of this? This sounds legit. I'm like, that's absolute horse shit. This guy isn't smart enough to lead a squad of diarrhea-stricken men to a bathroom. This guy's a part of the secret space. I go, let's do the math on this. So they take this kid out of his bed. They wipe his memory. They take him on board a spaceship for 25 years. He does all this high-speed shit, and then they wipe his memory and they age-regress him with pharmaceuticals to where when they age-regress him, his tattoos that he's gotten while he's on the ship for 25 years disappear. Uh-huh. And I'm supposed to believe this guy's real? Yeah. So Redacted does this interview with Michael Sala, and he's talking about how the deep underground bases, remember that shit, the dumbs? Yeah, dumb stands for the people that actually believe that shit and think it's real. And the dumbs are going to release all of these different, what do you call them, clones? I thought it was clones. I don't know. It was a little close enough. But I'm sitting here listening to this. I'm going, dude, Redacted, you just took like 3 steps back with credibility. Just interviewing this guy. Everything this guy just said is nonsense. So there's the deep underground bases that are controlled by the secret space program, and they're going to do some kind of an operation that makes the world think that's an alien invasion, but it's really not an alien invasion. It's really the secret space program trying to consolidate power across the planet. Okay. I couldn't decide if I should start drinking at that moment or when I was done listening to that nonsense, but that's what we're up against. That's the kind of shit that comes out of situations like this when there's so much ambiguity. You get so much garbage flooded into the system that you can't decipher what's true and what's not. People will buy into anything. You don't think the elite have wargamed that scenario? Look at how much money and how much energy was spent the moment Trump was convicted to try and get you to donate to the GOP. My phone, I get probably 5 or 6 texts a day from some political shitbags, political campaign, asking me for money every single day. I can set my watch to it. And it started the moment Trump got convicted. I had 150 text messages within 24 hours. You don't think that's a scripted event? They had that shit ready to go the moment that the announcement was made. All of this stuff's been wargamed out. They rely heavily on AI, and AI is way more sophisticated than you think it is. All of those things that are being put in front of you right now that you consider news is noise. It's all garbage. That's why I disconnected last week, because you get so immersed in it that you can't see the reality versus the nonsense. And look, the way we win this, the way that we get our country back, the way that we wake people up, is you have to call out the hypocrisy of the AI, the hypocrisy of the Chinese, the hypocrisy of the elite, just like we did during COVID. Do you know why we took the cultural narrative back after COVID? It's very simple. We outed all of the politicians for the double standard, the hypocrisy, and the fact that they were basically conducting orgies while the rest of us were locked down. And once all that information came out, their credibility went to zero. And the pole shift happened with the public consciousness. Look at how hard they're trying to sell COVID still. Like, oh, COVID killed all these people and the vaccines came in and saved everybody. And, you know, there's still people taking vaccines. But the whole long COVID narrative is starting to erode because they can't sell the lie anymore. And it's because people have called out the hypocrisy. Every time they do something stupid, there's a billion memes that show up that make fun of it. That's exactly what the Brits did in World War II to the Germans. They played on their hypocrisy and the fact that party members showed favor to business, party members showed favor to individuals across the Nazi regime. And that's what ultimately led to their demise, because they created a system that only rewarded people that were loyal to the system, and not everybody believed in the system in the first place. That's how we have to win this war. But we also have to dismantle the AI, because the AI is very powerful. And that brings me to the whole Carter conversation. So I made a prediction a few weeks ago that they're going to go after Trump. And they're gonna use an opportunity like a funeral to go after Trump and Biden. The reason why they're not going to replace Biden is because I think they're going to set up a false flag event where they take out both of them and they blame it on either MAGA or domestic extremists, whatever the case may be, Iran, Russia, pick your flavor. And to me, the Carter funeral, because if you look at the messaging around Carter, that dude's been in hospice for 16 months. I think it's 18 now. Really? What are they feeding the guy? He's 100 years old. I mean, you enter hospice, you have less than 6 months to live. They're just making you comfortable. And they're pumping you full of morphine, so at some point you do die. They're not trying to keep you alive. They're just trying to give you basically palliative care. And he's been in there for 18 months. His family, like, it's not very long now. He's really close. He's really not doing well. He's 100. Of course he's not doing well. He's 100. Hell, I'm in my 50s and everything hurts. I can't imagine how bitter and apathetic I'm going to be when I'm 100 and everything hurts. I mean, come on. So in my mind, this is a perfect opportunity for them to use Carter and Carter's funeral to bring all these people together and conduct a false flag. And they could do it this month. They could do it next month. You know, it is, as Colonel Conrad likes to say, it's tomorrow. It's tomorrow. I see a number of opportunities where they can set conditions to where they can take out all three of them, Harris, Trump, and Biden, all at the same time, and blame somebody else. That's why I don't think they're concerned at all about Biden dropping out of the race. They have something else planned. And if we keep outing the fact that they have something else planned, it will definitively disrupt their plans. And I think that's why we've seen things stretch into from month to month, because their plans keep getting disrupted because they keep getting outed. And that kind of analysis is just as important as making fun of the hypocrisy, because they're all hypocrites. I mean, these morons in and Europe that are talking about climate change. The only reason they're successful in Europe is because Europe's disarmed. That stuff's not playing here. The whole climate change nonsense, whole climate conversation. Every time John Kerry posts something or his cow-faced daughter posts something, they get flamed on social media. All of the pedophiles in Hollywood have been outed. They can't post anything right now because anything they post, they get hammered. And Tom Hanks had to turn off all of his comments on Twitter because he was getting hammered and being called a pedophile. That's a significant shift in the cultural narrative. Significant. Because up until 2016, 2017, Hollywood basically told you what was real and what wasn't real. And now Hollywood is a husk of what it was before. And they've tried to push the DEI agenda and the LGBT, the gay lesbian agenda, whatever. I can't pronounce all those fucking letters now. They've tried to push that down our throats for the past 5 years, and people are openly sick of it now. That is all that the whole point of the whole replacing the U.S. flag with the gay lesbian flag and the Pride Month, all of that is about replacing the icon and the symbology of the U.S. with this new flavor of debauchery. It's all cultural revolution. And there was a discussion that we had over the weekend, which bears repeating right now, because this plays into what's going on right now. And that is, there was a case against Amazon a few years ago because of Amazon's reluctance or refusal to allow unions into Amazon warehouses. So Amazon called it Amazon diversity. Basically what they did is they flooded their system with all kinds of ethnic backgrounds. And what happens when you force all kinds of ethnic backgrounds into a very small area? They all go in their separate corners, which is exactly what's happening right now. You put a bunch of white people in a room, you're going to have a union. You put a bunch of black people in a room, you're going to have a union. Put a bunch of Mexican people in a room, you're going to have a union. But if you put small groups of each one in the room, they're not going to agree on anything, which is exactly what we're seeing right now. So exactly why they're flooding the country with all these different ethnicities. They want everybody in their little corners. Because what do the Somalis do in Minnesota? They went into their own little groups. They created their own little environments, their own little communities, and they don't talk to anybody else. They've got their mafia set up. You don't think that's by design? All of that is by design. It's by design so that there's no unity across the country and there's no loyalty to the Constitution. Then you bring in the flag and replace the iconology, and all of the icons become something different, and nobody believes in the U.S. anymore. It's exactly what Stalin did. It's exactly what Saddam Hussein did. It's exactly what Pol Pot did. In fact, Saddam Hussein, he was an overachiever when it came to replacing all of the Iraqi icons with pictures of himself. There was pictures of Saddam in almost every palace across the country. I think I was in 30 palaces across the country, and his massive picture of him in almost every single one of them. That's by design. It's to destroy the culture. All of this was planned, every bit of it. That's why I say that we're not going to make it to November. It's not because I think there's going to be this massive alien invasion, although that would be very entertaining. Just not going to lie. That would be very entertaining. But at the end of the day, they are setting conditions so that even if there is an election, nobody will accept it. And we are all wrapped up in the narrative if we spend our time scrolling through Twitter. Even if you're reading an article. And here is the ultimate gaslighting that came out of that. The Atlantic released an article that said the Great Epstein Conspiracy. Never mind it's true. Never mind it's gaslighting. Never mind that Ghislaine Maxwell's sitting in prison right now. And none of the big donors, none of the people that went to the island, none of the people that were in the residences, none of the people that were on the airplane have been released except for Weinstein, Clinton, and a few others. Literally, they have blacked that out. Now they're trying to tell the public, because this is what they think. They think that you're stupid and that your memory is very short term. So they're setting all these conditions all at the same time, which is why I say they have multiple lines of operation, and they're a lot more organized than you think they are, and their game is a lot longer game than most of us, because they're betting on the fact that your memory is short term. I mean, look at all these people that got the jab and they were virtue signaling and they were basically ending friendships because people wouldn't get the jab. All of them are seeing their friends, their family, and people close to them die off. And they first they called it long COVID. Now they're calling it what was the newest term? I can't remember the newest term. Damn, that's what happens when you can get any sleep. They are so immersed in the narrative that they can't see the truth right in front of them under any circumstances, even 2.5-3 years after the shots were given. And they know somebody directly related to them that has died from the shot. They still cannot let go of the narrative. The elite are banking that the rest of us are the same way with our narratives that they propagated. And you don't think they're propagating the whole mega, the whole conspiracy theory around the vaccines, those conspiracy theories around UFOs? You don't think they're propagating that with AI and with bots? They absolutely are. They're flooding the system to create more and more small. Remember, I said this years and years ago. They want to put people in buckets. They want to have more buckets than less, because the more buckets you have, the more people fight amongst themselves. I mean, they're having brawls of pride parades, for Christ's sake, because even the gays and lesbians can't get along with their own fucked up ideology. And I'm convinced that it's a mental illness now. I used to think it was a choice, but it's a mental illness. If you look at the way some of these people are acting now, it's literally cognitive decline. All of that is by design. All of that are considered lines of operation. They're all culminating, and it's going to culminate this fall. When the economy goes, I don't know. Everybody says it's going to be tomorrow. I think it's somewhere in next year. Martin Armstrong seems to think that this is going to stretch into 28. I think we're going to have civil disorder this year. I just don't see how they can put together and get people to an election without civil disorder and violence. And the violence is already ramping up in the cities. It's already getting more and more chaotic. And again, if you go back to Pawns in the Game, you'll see that this is part of their long-term agenda and their long-term strategy for civilization change. This is what they've been doing for years and years. And it should also tell you why I don't pay attention to national level politics. That's all nonsense, all of it. I don't care who the renter in the White House is. I don't care who's in Congress. I don't care who's in the House. I don't give two shits about it. Because as Matt Bracken says, which I think is probably one of the best quotes I've heard, you were talking about people that are on the bridge of the Titanic. They're not going to be on the bridge of the Titanic when the ship sinks. And I agree with that. Because once this kicks off, and it will kick off, it's going to get very personal very quick. And you're going to see a lot of people get smoked because of personal vendettas. That's how that usually goes. So focus on the stuff that matters. Focus on family and friends. Focus on getting prepared. Focus on using your stuff. Focus on local stuff and local news that matters. Because that's where the marathon is really going to take place. It's not going to take place at the national level. It's going to be your little sphere of influence, your line of sight, and keeping that growing, expanding, and building a trusted network. That's the most important thing to work on right now, because all this other noise just distracts you. For every hour you spend trying to research some bullshit accusation that's come out of social media, somebody pulled right out of their ass, it's an hour you're not spending doing something that's more productive. And the thing that I figured out in Iraq, especially dealing with enemy information operations and information warfare, is that I could spend 20 hours trying to analyze what their messaging was, or I could spend 1 hour trying to figure out how to disrupt it and how to make fun of it. And that would get traction with the locals. And I wouldn't have to spend 20 hours trying to figure out what they were trying to say. I could figure out where the comedy was and go play to the comedy and disrupt their their entire narrative and their entire agenda. And I wouldn't have to threaten anybody to do it. But that was more effective than trying to figure out and doing all the deep analysis. Because when I got on the ground over there, we spent hours going through trying to figure out the enemy narratives. So I finally looked at General Hammond. I'm like, sir, why are we doing this? We all know this is BS. All we need to do is play to the BS, and that'll get the public's attention. That's exactly what we did. Now, was it effective? Not at first. It takes time. Influencing operations take a lot of time. But the point was, we were focused on things that added value versus focused on things that didn't add value. Spending time running down conspiracy theories, there's no value add to that. There's enough people doing that. Focus on the stuff that matters. Focus on the things that matter. Don't get wrapped up in the noise. Because the whole noise, like, what are you going to do about Joe's cognitive decline? Nothing. What are you going to do about Lindsey Graham running around shaking the war tree? Nothing. Guy's a fucking piece of Chinese Zionist pole smoker. What are you going to do with him? Nothing. He's useless. You know, I had some amazing moments last week. And one of them is, I make it a point every time I go to the islands to step on the Missouri. And there's a view from the navigation bridge, which is the outdoor bridge that you see in the movie Battleship. They're standing on the navigation bridge right above the navigation bunker. And it overlooks the Arizona Memorial and the USS Bowfin, which was a sub that's across the harbor. And this time the Stennis was in for a RIMPAC exercise. So I'm looking at all this stuff and I'm thinking, this is why I needed to come here. I needed to remind myself of why I was doing this. And most importantly, I needed to remind myself that the last time we were attacked on our own soil, it took us 4.5 years to beat back the enemy. That's a long fight. I don't think most Americans are ready for a long fight. And that's what we have to get ready for now. It's a long fight. Because we were all put here for a purpose. I don't know what that purpose is right now for me, but I know I'm here for a purpose, and it's to help rebuild this country in whatever capacity that is. I'm not worried about how, when, or why it happens. I'm worried about what I'm going to do when it happens. And I'm worried about getting the people around me ready for when it happens. And that's what I suggest you work on and focus on. I mean, the 4th of July is 2 days away. They could do a false flag on the 4th of July. They could do a mass shooter on the 4th of July. You never know. So focus on the things that matter while you have the time to do it. And I guarantee you, you'll feel a lot better, especially when things kick off. Because the hardest thing the hardest thing for this country is people do not know how to embrace the suck. They do not know how to deal with adversity. They cannot handle ambiguity at all. I mean, just here's the litmus test. Go to Costco on a Saturday and see how many narcissistic, angry people are at Costco on a Saturday. First of all, why would you do that to yourself? Because that's stupidity wrapped in ignorance, surrounded by crazy. Why would you do that to yourself? But people do it every Saturday, and they sit there and they went to a coffee shop. The parking lot was so full because it was a bougie coffee shop, that it was so full that people literally were sitting in the middle of the aisle waiting for a parking spot. They didn't give a shit about anybody else around, or that they were stopping traffic on the street outside of the parking lot. They didn't care. Exact same deal at Costco. People don't give two shits about anybody else. That's how you can tell that our society is imploding, because people are more worried about themselves than anything else. That's a bad recipe for people to deal with ambiguity. Because if you're wrapped up in just yourself, you are going to perish. Situations with you know, high trauma, with high violence, etc., they require groups of people to survive. And when you have people that are wrapped up in the point where they can't handle any ambiguity at all, and they melt down and they can't regulate their behavior, that's a perfect storm for people to die. Which is why I'm saying focus on the things that matter and don't focus on the noise, because the noise will just, it's just subterfuge. It just wraps you up in things that don't matter and keeps you distracted. And look, they want the public to be isolated, alone, and not communicating. The thing they fear most is an informed population that's banded together and is working unitedly and jointly to solve whatever problem is in front of them. That scares the shit out of them. Because when that happens, all of their crimes against humanity are going to be on public display for all to see. And when that happens, there won't be enough stormtroopers, enough law enforcement, enough private contractors, or enough private armies to stop them from being hung by the mob. That's why they're trying so desperately and using every tool at their disposal to divide and conquer. The moment we come together as a population, the moment that we realize all these cultural, all these religious, all these different political beliefs are all nonsense, is the moment they are doomed. The only way that happens is if we focus on our communities and we work together in our communities versus worrying about the national level. That's how they've played us for so long. We need to get back to the basics. The basics, it all revolves around community, every bit of it. And it revolves around empathy and active listening. Most people don't know how to do that either. I guarantee you, you do that, you spend 10 seconds celebrating the differences of people around you in your community, I guarantee you're going to have a strong community. 10 seconds, that's all you got to do. So I'll be back tomorrow night with a roundtable tomorrow night. I can't say if I'll be back Friday with the roundtable. It's a holiday. Last week, most of the crew. And this is how you tell there's divine intervention in this, by the way. When we started to get the shows together last week, almost the entire team was busy traveling or doing things that took the entire team away. And that's significant because it wasn't coordinated. It wasn't anything we talked about. I'd published a schedule weeks before that. Everybody had agreed to it. I think everybody knew it was time to take a break. So we'll be back tomorrow night with the roundtable. I can't tell you who's going to be on the roundtable because I'm reworking the schedule. I've added four new folks to the roundtable. Chris Weatherton, who wrote Going Home series. Joe Dolio. That does tactical, what does Joe do? Tactical, what's it called? Escapes me right now. Tactical Wisdom, man. I've added a couple other folks, former warrant officer, a helicopter pilot. I've added former Special Forces CIA guy. Good guy, by the way. So all good guys, very, very good guys. And they were all gracious when I asked them if they wanted to do the roundtable. So I'm in the process of trying to put together a schedule. And with the holiday weekend, we'll probably only get one show out this week. So it's not for lack of trying or lack of desire. But we'll get it done. And I'm expanding. I want to have at least 20 or 30 in the lineup for the show so that the conversation goes in a multitude of directions. I mean, because all these guys have, you know, I have five authors now that are sitting on the round table, which blows my mind because Clay Martin just released a new book. I think it was today that Clay released his new book. Anyway, I am impressed and humbled by the folks that are on the roundtable, because these guys are all doing this. They're volunteering their time to do it. Yeah, Barbarian Spirit. Clay just launched, I think, yesterday. So if you want Clay's new book, it should be out. The point is that I'm humbled by all these guys, because they all donate their time and come on the show on a moment's notice to make sure that we have a good lineup for everybody and good information. And I think it's, you know, it's a humbling experience for somebody like me who didn't set out to do this, and this isn't my forte. And I looks like troops in the chat. You know, if you haven't given to Trooper Care Network, you should do that. If you have a moment and you're on True Social, go out and say thanks to Jack Donna and to Seth Keschel for doing the homework on Steve Slayton and Wendy Rogers. And I'll be back tomorrow night, and we'll do the roundtable tomorrow night. Not sure what we're going to talk about yet. Still trying to recover. But we'll be back one day. If you like what we're doing, folks, hit the subscribe button. That helps send the message out to everybody. We get a lot more views on both Rumble and Twitter. And for whatever reason, I couldn't stream to Twitter tonight. Go figure. So more to come on that. But I'll be back tomorrow night. God bless, everyone. One team, one fight.